When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to NFL Live, presented by NerdWallet, once again from the great city of Detroit, as night one of the 2024 NFL Draft is in the books. Some of the expected happened, and it was still magic. The fans, a big part of that. As they're already milling about here, we're getting ready for night two and round two. Caleb Williams, number one overall, to the Bears. Plus, Chicago also drafted Rome Odunze, set up for success there in Chicago. A great day to be a Bears fan. And Jaden Daniels goes number two overall to the Commanders. Look at the former LSU Tiger getting ready to go. He is excited for this opportunity and ready to bring a lot of promise to that organization. Drake May followed at three to the Patriots, the top three quarterbacks flying off the board. A special night for QBs, and it got really interesting right after that. Continued on throughout the night, some surprises that we'll get to here as we welcome you into the show. Glad that you're with us. We're going to be with you until 4 p.m., a little bit early NFL Live. Marcus Spears, Mina Kimes, Ryan Clark, Dan Orlovsky.
That fit, though, that fit today.
Ooh, thank you.
Dressing. I'm a riding stone cowboy.
Okay. What's up, I'm going to leave that.
Yeah. You wanted me to talk about yours?
I thought you were talking about
He me. Thought you were at
Prince
Normal.
Hey, did you get your suit back from Drake May last night? Did he give it? Did Drake May give you your suit back?
Actually, no, he couldn't fit into it. Let's get right to our top stories brought to you by Sleep Number. And for that, we're going to go to Adam Schefter. Draft night surprises, or what makes this event so much fun? We certainly got one out of Atlanta. Adam, what do you know about why they drafted quarterback Michael Penix Jr. at number 8 overall?
Well, Laura, there are a lot of reasons, and there's a lot to unpack here. And I think it starts with the fact that the Falcons head coach Raheem Morris loved Michael Penix Jr. And I think that some people around the league have no issue with taking Michael Penix Jr., but they took him at number 8. They could have traded back to number 10 to the New York Jets spot, gotten an extra pick, taken Penix Jr. there, but they just stayed there and took him at a spot that was very high. Now, it's all upon how a coach in a front office evaluate a quarterback or any player. And clearly, the Falcons had a strong conviction on Michael Penix for a franchise that was haunted by the fact that once it moved on from Matt Ryan, it never had a quarterback to step in. And now, after signing Kirk Cousins and giving him $100 million in guaranteed money about a month ago, they go ahead and use the 8th overall pick in the draft. The other question, of course, is how they handled this with Kirk Cousins. They called him while they were on the clock to let him know. Again, that was how the news came down. Was he surprised? Yes. Was he disappointed? Obviously. But the fact of the matter is his agent, Mike McCartney, was just answering the question. Did you know in advance? No, he didn't, although they had some indication that the Falcons could go quarterback in the next 2 years. So this was the pick that had the league buzzing, that was the surprise pick of the night, and now we'll see how it plays out with Michael Penix being 24 years old already. And now, if he's on the bench for a couple of years, he may not be called upon until he's 26, 27 years old.
The clock, certainly a big piece of all this. But, Adam, as you alluded to, there's many layers to it that we'll dive into right here. The Falcons are the first team in the common draft era to add a 4-time Pro Bowl quarterback in the same offseason as they end up drafting a new one. Mina, you like the move?
I don't. I hate starting the show with a negative take, but I have a lot of issues with it, and I'm very confused by it, honestly, even after hearing some of the explanations. A couple things to me stand out. One is the opportunity cost. Look, if I'm Kirk Cousins, I'm not upset because they're bringing in competition. I'm upset because I thought we were trying to win the NFC South, and we missed out on the opportunity to upgrade a pass rush that I think we all agree might be the worst in the NFL and has been for a while. The second thing I think I'm just still struggling to wrap my mind around is the timeline of it all, which, of course, you guys alluded to. So the best case scenario, as I understand it, is that they move on from Cousins after a couple of years. Even at that point, you're still taking a $25 million cap hit. So you lose out on a lot of the benefit of having the quarterback on the rookie contract. And, as Adam said, by that time, he would be 26. In the common draft era, do you know how many first-round quarterbacks made their first professional start at age 25 or older?
Six.
Two.
Woo!
Brandon Whedon and Chad Pennington. That's it. So for this to work out, Penix would have to be a historical aberration.
Well, I think the historical aberration is one thing, but I do believe history plays into this as well. Raheem Morris got his opportunity to be a head coach when he was extremely young. And you know who his quarterback was? Josh Freeman, right? And Josh Freeman wasn't a good NFL quarterback. And he realized by not having a good NFL quarterback, he lost his job.
Got no shot.
And so your experiences create your decisions or force your decisions as you grow older. And so now getting this chance, he's like, we're going to have a quarterback right now, and I'm going to have a succession plan. I'm not going to be stuck where Mike Tomlin was stuck after Ben Roethlisberger, who was still making the playoffs with Kenny Pickett. And because he's been making the playoffs with Kenny Pickett, he's never gotten a pick high enough to get a quarterback that's as good as Big Ben to be the successor to him. Right. And so I believe that that was the reason that someone like Raheem Morris says, okay, I'm at number eight. I view this guy in the same sort of category as a Caleb Williams or a Jaden Daniels. He's in my top three, so I'm going to get him now. Now, I don't agree with the move. I believe you go and get the pass rusher, and along with Kirk Cousins, go out and try to win the NFC South right now. Yeah. He believes with Kirk Cousins, he's good enough to do that. They worked to get back into the first round and couldn't find a trade partner. Mm. Would I have done it if I was the GM? Absolutely not. Do I understand that our scars make us who we are today? I do. And I think that went into this decision.
Mark, hold up on the tape real quick. Okay, so a couple things. First of all, this is the perfect example of what's the hardest job, in my opinion, of a general manager. You have to do now and the future.
Yeah.
And here's my pushback with the pass rusher philosophy. What happens if Atlanta and Terry Fontenot, their general manager, had Michael Penix as the second best quarterback in this draft, neck and neck with Jaden Daniels, and the top three player, and the pass rusher at 20?
Yeah.
Take the pass rusher at 8 just because we need a pass rusher? You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. It sounds like, I don't know if they had him at 20 if they were trying to trade up. Yeah. I don't know exactly what
they were. It wasn't 20, but yeah.
Yeah.
Also the best pass rusher of the draft to them as
I
well.
I think what you're really asking is, like, because I'm sure a lot of teams probably had, you know, these quarterbacks ranked high on their boards, but you don't take a quarterback when you already have an expensive quarterback. So the question you're really asking is, how much do you have to have invested in the quarterback to not take the best player available?
But I get that. Here's my thing with the quarterback. When you find and you've identified a quarterback that you think is that good, and in their words, threw the ball at a pro day,
yeah,
the same that we watched Matthew Stafford, who we all can agree is one of the better throwers of the ball
ever
in this league, like the talent is there. And when you watch that tape, you sit there and I go, yeah, I understand how you could want to add that player for the future.
So my thing is, like, to be clear, I don't think this is an indictment on Michael Penix Jr. Like y'all said, we saw him have a phenomenal
important
season
to say
this past year. You could justify taking him, even if it's a flyer, based on what he did this year. Obviously, the injuries are why we talked about him kind of negatively in this process. But imagine Michael Penix at 21 years old and have the season he had at Washington. He'd have been in the conversation with Caleb and Jaden Daniels.
Correct.
So cool. The elephant in the room is that you gave a quarterback $100 million a month and a half ago.
That's the elephant
in the room. Like, so as much as we talk about this logic and what you had Michael Penix ranked on your board, you just paid 100 M's guaranteed to a quarterback. So for people to come on television and not feel like that's bizarre – it is crazy. This is the first time we've ever seen anything like this.
It was bizarre, even if you can figure out where they came from. The one thing I would say, and we're going to talk about this later on in the show, so don't miss that because there's a lot more to get to. If the Falcons in that division struggle defensively and it's because they didn't get a pass rusher or some pass rush help, people are going to say, point back to the draft.
Get,
all right,
sure,
that's something maybe sure. we didn't all agree with, but how about some quick reads on a pick that we loved last night? RC, lead us off.
Despite what I said on Mina Kimes' Twitter, my favorite pick was Xavier Worthy to the Kansas City Chiefs. This isn't a luxury pick for the Kansas City Chiefs. This is a you should have beat us last year pick for the Kansas City Chiefs, because this guy is not only a burner, he's a football player. It's yes. not about being a track star. It's about understanding how to use this historically amazing speed to get open, and once I get the football in my hand, be a guy that can take it to distance. And what are you going to do when you have to play two high safety the entire game and Travis Kelce is eating underneath?
I liked a lot of the offensive line picks, but I absolutely love Troy Fautanu, the Washington Huskies left tackle who protected Michael Penix Jr., dropping to the Pittsburgh Steelers. He gives them athleticism, physicality, and perhaps most importantly, positional versatility. He can play the left side. He can play the interior. They can figure out now who are our best five available. Put Broderick Jones on the right side, the left side, move Fautanu inside. You can play him a lot of places. Love what this does for the Steelers offense, regardless of whether it's Russell Wilson or Justin Fields he's protecting.
Yeah, this is a very big year in Jacksonville for both Doug Peterson, their head coach, and Trevor Lawrence, their quarterback. I loved the addition of Brian Thomas Jr. So move on from Calvin Ridley, or Calvin Ridley moves on, and I understand the addition of Gabe Davis, but they needed a vertical stretch wide receiver, but also a little bit more of a complete wide receiver. This is a year that Trevor Lawrence is going to have to go play his best football. And the addition of Brian Thomas gives them that three-headed monster at wide receiver. You pair with Evan Ingram, and this is now a very versatile and complex pass game for their number one drafted quarterback.
I love Joe Alt to the Los Angeles Chargers. One, it tells you about Harbaugh and his level of thinking. He wants to be physical at the line of scrimmage, but you also protect your $250 million investment in Justin Herbert. But it's really about changing the culture in Los Angeles, with being a physical football team, putting stalwarts on both ends of the line of scrimmage, being physical enough in the run game, but also athletic enough to make sure you can push the ball down the field. I love this. It was a no-brainer. It was something that didn't surprise anybody. Couple the stalwart left tackle with a phenomenal quarterback, and you got the pieces to an offense where you can build out the rest.
How little did Joe Alt make that big old chair look? That chair looked like a baby chair. And everybody else looks normal in the chair. That's how you know he's a huge man. We're just getting started on NFL Live, 2 hours from us, live here in Detroit. And we are going to talk about the Vikings selecting J.J. McCarthy with the 10th pick after trading up one spot with the Jets. Hear why Dan believes the former Michigan QB is set up for success in Minnesota, maybe the most success of any of these QBs. Plus, Bill Belichick joined the Pat McAfee show last night with all kinds of analysis of the first round picks. The best of Bill coming your way later in the show. He was really good. NFL Live is presented by NerdWallet. Start making smarter financial decisions today. And in part by Astepro Allergy, nasal allergy relief that starts working in 30 minutes. More from Detroit on ESPN after this.
What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled BABBEL.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back to NFL Live, presented by NerdWallet. Detroit has been incredible. The crowds for round one were unbelievable. They actually had to shut it down here. The spirit of Detroit, as you see. But people were even clamoring to continue to get in, even after they said they were at capacity. Round two starts at 7 Eastern on ESPN2, ABC, NFL Network, and ESPN Deportes. Let's talk about the Vikings a little bit. And as you see, J.J. McCarthy was their draft pick. They needed a quarterback. They went up just one spot to 10 to get him, a ready-made spot. Instant success is possible at that position with pieces around him. And McCarthy very well could be in the best position of any of the QBs from draft night off the bat. Let's look at this Vikings depth chart waiting for J.J. They've got Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and T.J. Hawkinson. Plus, they added Aaron Jones in the offense and in free agency. McCarthy and head coach Kevin O'Connell have a lot to work with in Minnesota. So lots of pre-draft conjecture about moving up for McCarthy. We wondered how high they would have to get, right? But they ended up only having to move up the one spot there. Dan, you like this for the Vikings?
I do. I think this is the best offensive quarterback that has been drafted in the top 10 has walked into in 30 years.
Wow.
That's that talented of a group. Now, a couple reasons why I like the addition of J.J. Number one, when he ran play action at Michigan, he's a top 10 quarterback in college football last year. The QBR, the completion percentage, the yards per attempt. Now look at the bottom there, right? The Vikings ran play action on a third of their plays highest in the NFL last year. So we often say the word fit, and I say I don't really like the fit. I love the fact that Minnesota has an identity on offense of who they are with Kevin O'Connell in their play action game. They have now selected a quarterback that his best attribute or trait is running what they exactly like to do. That's why I expect J.J. to step right in. And I, as much as I love Kirk Cousins and have respect for him, I don't see this significant drop-off, if any, performance-wise and or production-wise.
Mm. That's actually what I've been thinking about, because it's so easy to imagine him just stepping right into that offense with the play action. We saw him under center at Michigan, which made him unique amongst the prospects, booting out. He's good at throwing around the run.
Cross-pass
game. It makes sense. Yeah, right. It's really copy-paste. However, I do think there's areas he needs to improve on. We're going to talk about them. But when I think about Kirk Cousins and his trajectory in Minnesota and why Kirk played so much better at the end of his tenure in Minnesota, really the last year and a half, it's because he started taking risks, throwing it downfield to Justin Jefferson. Turns out that's always a good idea, right? But going up 50-50 balls,
trusting him to come out.
He wasn't like that earlier in his career. So when I think about McCarthy, that's not really something you saw out of him in Michigan. And
he was risk-averse at Michigan, sure.
He is going to have to do at the next level to continue sort of the same momentum that they had with Kirk Cousins.
Mina, that was the point I was making leading into wherever J.J. went. And I talked about the stats, right? Like, you look at his numbers, nothing eye-popping. It was the system that he was in, likening it to a basketball player averaging 13 and being a lottery pick in the NBA, because you weren't able to show all of those tools. The other thing is, to your point about being drafted in the best situation, I know it worked out differently, but Dak Prescott ended up with the same situation.
Yeah, good point.
Right? As, as a young
dominant
quarterback.
Dominant offensive line, good skill position.
Not asking you to do too much. Take care of the football. Get it in playmakers' hands, and let's go to work. He walks in with arguably the best wide receiver in the league. I think he is the best wide receiver in the league right now. Aaron Jones is one of the most underrated running backs in the NFL.
Right?
Catch offensive line. And to your point, nothing changes. So J.J. McCarthy is probably going to get his playbook today. Or he's going to get some type of information about what we're doing. He knows it already. So the learning curve alone is going to be something you don't have to deal with in training camp for a large majority. Get your guys together in the offseason and go to work. And I think he steps in and it feels very similar to Michigan.
Big Ben? When Big Ben went to Pittsburgh, I'm not even saying they're the same players.
No. Big Ben had the best situation also because of what the defense was. Defense was number one in the entire league. And so now you can run the football with Deuce Staley at the time and Jerome Bettis. This is going to be a little bit different because we're saying this is a great position to be in because of what you have offensively, because of the play caller and the play schemer that you have in Kevin O'Connell. And I think what I'm happy about is that they got him at 10. Right. I was never arguing that J.J. McCarthy wasn't a good football player.
Just
I was arguing you shouldn't get him at 4 if you had to give up assets. And so if you're Kevin O'Connell and the Minnesota Vikings, you're extremely exciting about what you have moving forward.
Yeah, when you think, too, about what they were able to get with Dallas Turner also, they made the most out of that first round. We're going to get to that.
I think the most interesting out of all of these quarterbacks, his journey is going to be the most interesting.
Good case study.
Lack of production in college because of what he did. Walks into this situation and see where it goes. And that will tell you so much about when we doing these evaluations in the future of how much your situation changes what we think about you as a player.
Well, furthermore, there is the mentality of J.J. McCarthy, which I think factors in here as well. He's mature. He's won on many levels. That certainly should translate in some ways. We've got more coming your way here on NFL Live as we carry on from Detroit. Coming up, the Broncos also got their guy, picking Bo Nix with the 12th pick last night. But was it a reach? Well, Field Yates joins the show to explain why Nix's top trade and flow of the draft made him the pick, undeniably, in Denver.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We're back here in Detroit as NFL Live carries on. We're with you until 4 p.m. Eastern. You see some more fans starting to make their way around. It's actually a much nicer day today. It didn't matter yesterday.
Yesterday was nice, though. Solid.
It ended up getting – well, that's coming from the Detroit man himself, Dan.
You know, nothing for a little wrong chilly. With 55 and sunny.
We're not complaining because it was an incredible night, and we love being here. It's one of the best events of the entire year. Let's talk about the Broncos. They made their choice at 12 with Sean Payton and co. bringing in Bo Nix into the fold. Such an amazing moment for a quarterback who went through a journey in college football, struggling at times at Auburn, growing along the way with massive improvements at Oregon, ultimately making himself into a number one first round pick. I almost get number one overall pick. That would have been interesting for Bo Nix. But Adam, why did Sean Payton feel like Nix was the right choice for them at Denver?
Well, there are a lot of reasons, Laura. I think it goes back to Sean Payton's past to 2017, when he had the 11th overall selection and the Kansas City Chiefs traded up one spot ahead of him to number 10 to take Patrick Mahomes, and he didn't get a chance to draft the quarterback he wanted. When he scouted Bo Nix this time, he felt the same way about Nix that he did about Mahomes. The Broncos flew out to Oregon. They went to the pro day. They stayed over and had a private workout with Bo Nix the next morning, and the day before, the night before, they sent him 3 days of plays of installation to go through. At 8 a.m. the next morning, Bo Nix came in and knew everything, wowed him in the classroom. They went on the field for 90 minutes. He was throwing darts. His accuracy impressed them. And then Sean Payton did a deep dive after an incredible meeting, spoke to Philip Rivers, who worked with Bo Nix during the offseason, and Philip Rivers said he was surprised at how big Bo Nix was, how well he threw the football, his accuracy. All these factors made it such that Sean Payton was determined to find a way to get Bo Nix to get to him in Denver, and they used the 12th overall pick last night to get the quarterback that they believe will be their quarterback of the future.
Yeah, Adam, as you know, so much due diligence is done, especially when you're going to invest this in these quarterbacks. But sometimes it's a gut instinct as well, and it feels like Sean Payton had that. He's entering his 17th season as a head coach in 2024, and this is the first time his team spent a first or second round pick on a quarterback. His team drafted just one other quarterback in the top 100. Garrett Grayson was a third round pick for the Saints in 2015. At number 75 overall, he ended up not playing a down, was cut after one season. Some of that has to do with the fact that, you know, he had Drew Brees for all that time. But ESPN draft insider Field Yates is joining us here now. Field, fist bump from over here, too.
Good to be here.
We're glad to have you. Did this pick make sense to you?
No, you know, I was just going back through an old text between Dan and I on March 12th, right after Bo Nix's pro day. And after that pro day, I had a chance to ask Bo, what are the traits that you're going to sell yourself on to the NFL? And the first thing he said was processing. If I were to ask you the three traits that come to mind for a quarterback evaluation for Sean Payton, my guess is in some order the first thing would be processing, accuracy, and decision-making. Bo Nix excelled in all of those things. Yeah. After that pro day, Dan and I were texting, and I said, I can just see Sean Payton meeting with Bo Nix during the pre-draft process and saying, give me that player at 12. Dan said, absolutely, it's exactly his prototype. And here we are a month and a half later, and that came true. Bo Nix, who last year had three interceptions compared to 45 passing touchdowns. And by the way, one of those three interceptions was a drop pass by his wide receiver. Uh-huh. The accuracy off the charts set the single-season FBS record in that regard. Doesn't surprise me at all that he now ends up with the Broncos, especially because with five quarterbacks off the board in the first 10 picks, the Broncos realize we can't wait around any longer. Yeah. We have no second-round pick. We have no chance if we don't do it right now.
And the pick really is about who Bo Nix isn't. One, he's no longer the player that we saw at Auburn when he was young, running around. And then two, he isn't this check-down merchant or behind-the-line-of-scrimmage player that everyone kind of categorized him as. He's really become this in-the-pocket ownership type of quarterback. I think a couple things. The understanding of what right kind of throw means. Okay, you motion the back out. It's man-to-man coverage. This is going to be a beautiful crosser as they clear the bottom of the screen. Now, Bo, when he was early on, he would throw this ball probably right now as he gets to his drop, and that linebacker dropping out would pick it off. Mm. But he sees that guy kind of going to the space that the receiver wants, knows that it's been cleared out, and he just levels and layers that throw over with not too much air, but enough to get over and over that underneath defender, which is fantastic. Now, he still has that physical talent that we saw when he was young. All-out pressure from Oregon State defensively. You don't have enough to block. You're going to get man-to-man coverage. He knows that they can't block it up. I kind of think he sets that and then gets out inside of the pocket with the athleticism. Again, when he was younger, he would just run. Now he keeps his eyes down the field and finds a receiver as he's running full speed, cross his body launch to an open guy for a 35-plus yard gain to Troy Franklin. That's a different type of player. And for the people who sit there and say, well, how's his processing ability? All right, so they're going to try to throw the ball to the back on an angle route as they motion him out. He sets and realizes, okay, that backer that's on the hash, he's following my eyes to the back. Well, the answer is to replace where that guy left. Get to number two on the stick and then number three on this little skinny wrap replace post. Ball out right now, right when that receiver's coming. That guy's developed into a big-time quarterback. And for everyone who says he's checked down Charlie behind the line of scrimmage, take those out. Yeah. For people who have thrown the ball past the line of the scrimmage, downfield, I mean, he was as accurate as the guy that went number two, even more so. So I think he's a case study in how important it is to stay committed to that process of college football.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot to like on the tape from Oregon, but I would say there's lots to like from players who were not named Bo Nix as well, including one who has yet to be drafted in Troy Franklin, who's an absolute speedster. Tez Johnson, also, who's not in the draft eligible, was a great player. Very good offensive line. Bucky Irving is going to be drafted. My point is this. He was in an excellent situation in Oregon, and I'm not saying that to ding him, but I am a little bit worried when I look at the Broncos' depth chart that he's walking into. You don't see that kind of speed. There's questions on the offensive line. So while I get the fit, I see the vision, I see that he has a lot of the attributes that Sean Payton has historically liked in quarterbacks, I am a little bit concerned about that sort of transition because he's going to be facing a level of adversity I don't think he really encountered at Oregon.
If I was trying to draw a line between my two tiers of quarterbacks in this class, which were the first three and then the subsequent three, if I were to categorize the first three, it's capable of doing things with less, whereas the next three, I think, were dependent upon more factors. As Mina was just describing with Bo Nix, that's the next responsibility now, Dan, is they got to get him even more weapons and a solid offensive line.
Well, and just to add a little bit more pressure to the situation, you think about the Broncos' history since Peyton Manning. They've used 13 different starting quarterbacks since Manning retired after that 2015 season. That's tied with Washington for second most in the NFL. Only the Browns have more. You think about just the history there, and it adds to the spotlight for Bo Nix and Sean Payton. Let's talk about some defense, okay? We've been heavy offense, but that's what the draft was. Nine defenders were taken in the first round. That's the fewest in any first round since the NFL expanded to 32 teams in 2002. It's four fewer than the previous low of 13 in 2004 and 2009. Zero safeties or linebackers were taken. The first defender off the board was Leetu Latu at number 15 to the Colts. It's the latest the first defender was ever taken in the draft. Let's send it down to these two defenders with Marcus an RC. Guys, what was going on there?
Well, Swag, they kicked us out of the studio because just like the teams last night, nobody wanted defense on stage.
Nobody.
But the Indianapolis Colts finally take Leetu Latu with the 15th pick of the draft. What are they getting in this young rusher?
They got tremendously better on the edge, and they got a guy that can be multiple. Talked about it yesterday with his ability to drop in coverage, understand coverage, and have the athleticism to actually make plays out there. You know, I comp them to T.J. Watt. Yeah. I'm not talking about production. I'm talking about how your body moves, your ability to rush the passer. Mm-hmm. You see here, he's also a very cerebral defensive player. He understands when to put his feet in the ground, get flat down the line of scrimmage. He understands double teams. And what I like so much about is his contact balance. Contact balance is when you are working on a tackle and you get pressure either from a running back or a tight end. Can you keep your feet and keep pressing the pocket? And the second thing is, I saw him rush from the interior.
Yeah.
And that's become so huge. Myles Garrett, move him across the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
We see Micah Parsons line up on the inside sometimes and go to work on the weakest link on the offensive line. So I think he gives them a tremendous amount of flexibility. And also in that division with C.J. Stroud now, you better have people that can get after
him. I mean, we've talked about how much we like Latu and the way that he plays, his versatility, being able to drop into coverage and make plays on the football. And Mina loves him. He may actually replace Trey Hendrickson as her
as
son.
Baby.
Or maybe now they'll both join Nino as Mina Kimes takes care
Nino as
of
big
them
as both
all.
Of them.
Hey, big as both
That's
of them.
That's my dog.
But speaking of defensive players, the Dallas Cowboys' best defensive player, Micah Parsons, is tired of seeing Howie Roseman take picks as they fall into his lap.
I'm honestly utterly disgusted on how lucky the Eagles are. It's just like Chris, I do not know how he fell that far with this run of offensive tackles and quarterbacks. That's the only thing that makes sense. I thought he was a top 15, top 12 talent, and he just fell right into their laps.
And he was your favorite player?
He was definitely one of my more favorite players in this draft. Like I said, he rose in every bar. He hit he checked every box.
Who he's talking about is Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, and he's right. He's a top 10 or 15 talent, but his understanding of the game is what I love. Here, he has vision to break on the quarterback. He disguised it, made it look like he was going to be a cloud corner, breaks on the football, pick six. But what I wanted to see him do was press because he was in so much off coverage here. He's a little high in the press, but right now he's checking through the receiver to look for the back shoulder. He doesn't get it. He's going to find the football. Looking up, he realizes he needs to speed turn or head turn, play through the hands. Amazing finish by Quinyon Mitchell. And here, you're going to see him lose the receiver behind his eyes. He understands he has to speed turn to get back to the top shoulder. Now, he gets a little handsy, gets his right hand over the football, and makes a play. Quinyon Mitchell was not only a player that should have been drafted higher, but when you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, he was a need.
Absolutely.
Now, they kicked us out here, but as I'm going to say, and like Jay-Z said it, the sun don't shine if the suns don't shine.
Together.
Back to the stage.
Oh, that was beautiful. And by the way, my favorite thing about Quinyon Mitchell is that his grandma, Marilyn, is his best friend. And he tells everybody that. And Marilyn was so excited last night, as she should have been. Mitchell, yeah, great name, great lady. All right, we got more coming your way here on NFL Live as we carry on from Detroit, a two-hour show we're getting through here of the teams in the draft. The Buffalo Bills traded their pick to the Chiefs, who added another weapon in Xavier Worthy, and Mina explains why he will be the perfect fit with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City next. Who are you picking to go number one? ESPN Bet has all your go-to specials and offers for draft day as the official sportsbook of ESPN. It is the only place to find exclusive promotions from your favorite ESPN shows and personalities. New users get $100 in bonus bets after making any sportsbook bet. Download today. What a play.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple.
Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
If you went to bed early last night, you might have missed a trade that happened between the Chiefs and the Bills. Pretty interesting. Kansas City moved up from 32 to 28, and the team swapped third and fourth round picks. Now, fascinating move between a couple conference rivals, especially because a lot of Bills fans were like, hey, we get a wide receiver, we traded away Stephon Diggs. Adam Schefter, what more can you add on this particular trade?
Well, there was surprise, and obviously Andy Reid and Sean McDermott are close friends, and that helps get this deal done at that particular point in time. And both teams have the need for wide receiver help. So the Buffalo Bills will lead off the top of round two today, and there's speculation across the league that they're going to go wide receiver at that spot. But last night, the Chiefs get Xavier Worthy, who set a record at the combine, fastest 40 time ever. And so people will say, how can they allow somebody this fast to get to a team in Kansas City that's so good? But again, that relationship matters. They worked out the trade. Both teams felt it helped them. And now Xavier Worthy becomes the newest weapon for Patrick Mahomes. And this was exactly, too, where Xavier Worthy wanted to go. He even suggested to his agent at one point in time, can we tell all 31 teams that the one place I do want to go is Kansas City so I can play with Patrick Mahomes? It doesn't work like that, but in the end, it worked out like that. So Xavier Worthy, again, now gets his wish and gets to play with Mahomes.
Adam, you know what also is just wild about this? I love this note from Bonds, our researcher. The last time the Chiefs and Bills traded draft picks was in 2017 when Kansas City traded up to get Patrick Mahomes. So here we go again, right? I know it's different than that. But Marcus, what do you make of Buffalo trading with a team that also continues to just knock them out of the playoffs?
Yeah, I understand the business of it, but I'm going to give you an analogy. If somebody hits you in the head seven times with a baseball bat, are you going to do any type of business with them? Hell no. Okay? So from that standpoint, I hate it. Right? We know that they need picks. They lost a lot of guys defensively and offensively. Dan talked about
it. What an analogy.
Dan talked about it this morning. On Get Up, and it makes sense. Like, you want to have numbers. Wide receivers are still out there. The only thing is, I just can't imagine, and I heard Shefty just now talk about Sean McDermott and Andy Reid are good friends. I would hate Andy Reid if I was Sean McDermott, at least until we get done coaching football or we remove ourselves from each other.
You like me?
The thing that I was most excited about, this is what I was most excited about and really rattled me. You guys know how I was about Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
Like, I thought Xavier Worthy should have been warranted in the conversation with a lot of these top guys that we focused on a lot. And now Patrick Mahomes has him.
Now I can't stop thinking about Andy Reid with the baseball bat. Just seeing it.
On Sean McDermott.
Okay, the best way I'd put it is this. Last year, throughout much of the season, until really the end when Rashee Rice started coming on, Andy Reid had to game plan around the deficiencies of his wide receivers. Now he gets to lean into them as strengths. And I say receivers because I want to mention this. They're adding Xavier Worthy and his insane speed. They signed Hollywood Brown as one of the fastest players in the NFL.
He's a slow guy now.
Yeah. You don't think Andy
Hollywood
Reid,
heard that.
Who is notorious, by the way, for borrowing plays from both every level of football. You don't think he's been watching the Miami Dolphins and thinking, that cheap motion? I'd like some of that.
I'd like some of that.
So all I'll say is this. He is going to have a field day with these players, and I do not think Patrick Mahomes is going to rank near the bottom of the NFL in average depth of target again this year.
Yeah, and reality is Xavier Worthy needs like 3 or 4 targets a game for this to pay off. You know, like if RC was here, I'd ask him the number one – you're a defensive guy. I know. Number one thing defenders fear.
Speed.
Ball going over the top of their head, right? Because you guys always want defense,
keep it in front
offense to drive the length of the field. We've seen that with Patrick. One, all you need is one of them to hit. One time, and then you're like, oh, crap, what do we do now?
Yeah.
And then everyone plays softer. Your structure changed. Then my run game's easier. Then my yards after the catch
Kelsey's
game.
Kelsey's
going to get a ton. So it's not like Xavier Worthy has to be this Jamar Chase getting 15 touches a game guy. You know what I'm saying? Everything is going to be easier because it is going to change the mathematical structure of a defense if he hits one a game.
So, Field, on the Bills side of this, and by the way, as Adam mentioned, they do have the 33rd overall pick, the first pick tonight. But what should Bills fans read if the tea leaves tell us anything about this trade?
We've been talking for months now about how this wide receiver class could be historically deep. And the Bills are saying, we believe that as well. Now, I was of the mind that if Xavier Worthy was going to go in the first round, he needed to land somewhere where he was not going to be asked to be the number one passing game option, because there's not a lot of history that suggests a 165-pounder can be that right away in the NFL. So maybe Buffalo had similar thoughts that align with that. But keep this in mind as well. Everybody wants the Bills to try to trade for Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel or T. Higgins. It's not going to happen. They have no cap space. So what they did is they picked up additional draft capital. Yep. The reality for this team this year is they got to ace this draft in order to stay
at the top of the AFC.
Please do.
Is it impossible for them to trade for one of those guys and structure the contract so it hits in 25?
Borderline impossible.
Okay.
They have played basically every card they have available to them right now in terms of restructuring contracts. Okay. It would take a massive, massive effort to do so. It would just compromise you elsewhere. So basically, the Bills must nail the wide receiver spot in this draft. Now they have extra capital to be a little bit more aggressive today if they have a bigger-bodied receiver they prefer.
Who do you like?
We're about to do that. One second. Let's go there. So you have host Dan, okay?
Slow the hell down.
So best available for you, Field, as the Bills are on the clock tonight.
So let's start with three players at all positions, then I'll give you some receivers at the end as well. But let's begin with Adonai Mitchell from Texas, who dropped out of the first round, perhaps surprisingly to some, ran a 4.34 40 at the combine, 196 pounds, just one drop all of last season, played in five separate college football playoff games. During his college career at Georgia and Texas, he caught a touchdown pass in all of those five college football playoff games. Lots of length, lots of speed, could be a factor for Buffalo at pick number 32. Defensive side of the ball, Cooper DeJean from Iowa, suffered an injury at the end of his Iowa career, which may have contributed to him falling outside of the first round, but a 4.40 40 at his pro day, a 40-plus inch vertical jump. Could play safety if a team really wanted them to, but he's an excellent man-to-man coverage player. He's got great punt return skills as well. He will not wait long tonight. Finally, one more defensive back, Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama. High school teammate of Bo Nix, by the way. Some silky smooth man coverage hips on this player. Had 20 pass breakups over the past two seasons. He's been a two-time All-American for Alabama. Had a foot injury during the pre-draft process. Also may have contributed to him not being a first-round pick, but a guy who also will not have to wait very long tonight.
All right, we're going to get into some more wide receivers as well as we come on later in the show. We're also going to say our We're also going to give our sleepers for rounds two, three, and beyond, so you don't want to miss that. But we've got a lot more to get to here from Detroit as we carry on. As NFL Live continues, our draft day predictor is one thing. But coming up, the Bears solidified their offense, selecting Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze in the top 10. RC will tell you on the tape why pairing the young duo together sets Chicago up for success next season and beyond. More of the NFL draft continues here in Detroit tonight, and NFL Live with you to get you ready for all of it. Round two is beginning at 7 Eastern on ESPN2, ABC, NFL Network, and ESPN Deportes. And the Pat McAfee Show, they've had a great draft special here. They had a special guest last night, Bill Belichick. Here's the best of Bill.
Gentlemen, the greatest of all time, not only head coach, but also GM, Bill Belichick's about to be here.
Bill, buckle up, Bill.
This is a seven-hour night.
I'm take a picture of this. There's no cakewalk in the NFL. I don't care what position you play. What you've seen now in these first six picks is these teams like the guy that was on the board, and they stood right there and took him. They're not fooling around. But Caleb's a really talented guy. He's kind of like a Russell Wilson. Drake compares himself a lot to Josh Allen. He does been doing that for quite a while. We'll see about that. This seems a little high for him, but there's a lot to like about Penix.
Bill loves that term, edge rusher.
Wait a minute. Hold on. What does that mean?
He plays on the edge.
Yeah, but the edge would be corner.
No, he doesn't.
We'll agree to disagree.
Yeah, there he is, not playing outside. The defensive end outside linebacker.
We got edge rusher.
Can we ease up on the edge rusher? He's a defensive end.
I want this to be random.
Bill's booking Sean Payton right now.
Do you think about moving back up into the first round if the guy falls to you that you like?
Hard-hitting questions, Bill. I didn't know I was getting that from you.
Kevin had an arm now. He had an arm.
What he's not saying is I had an arm, but we didn't always know where that ball was going to go.
Coach Belichick. When you come back in the league, go in the NFC.
Nobody had the ability to attack the field like you did.
Thank God we had Lawrence Taylor.
Congratulations, IMG Academy. This is 5 years in a row he's had a first-round draft pick. Now, there's a running lane. I mean, even I could make a couple of yards through there. I can't get open. I can't get the ball. I'm no good in a passing game. He can do everything. Unless you need a defensive player, he can't play defense. We've been trying to trade for Randy Moss for 2 months, literally. This was like childbirth.
Bill had it going on, man.
He said childbirth.
Look at Teddy Bruschi. He posted this about his longtime coach. Love seeing Bill covering the draft. All of his pauses where he usually dropped F-bombs.
You got to learn that.
Well, man. I mean, how cool is it? We had Bill Belichick with Pat McAfee. We had Nick Saban on College Game Day, who also did an excellent job. Shocker, guys. These guys are really good on TV, too. They're
killing it
all the time. Yeah. We're just over 4 hours away from tonight's coverage beginning. We're glad you're with us on NFL Live. Marcus Spears, Mina Kimes, Ryan Clark, and Dan Orlovsky, Field Yates joining us throughout, as well as Adam Schefter. Let's get right back to our top stories with Adam. Adam, it was chalk at the top position with the first three picks. Then things got interesting with Atlanta at 8.
And Laura, a short time ago, their number 8 overall selection is touchdown in Atlanta to go meet with the newest members, his newest teammates in Atlanta. Michael Penix becomes the 8th overall pick and clearly the most debated pick in the first round of this draft. Many people thought he would be a first round pick. Very few thought he would go as high as number 8. And so the Falcons sign Kirk Cousins in March, draft Michael Penix Jr. in April, and now solidify the position. J.J. McCarthy goes to Minnesota, and the big win for the Vikings was that they didn't have to give up their second first-round pick to move up to get him. They moved up one slot to the New York Jets' turn at number 10. He goes where he wants to, and J.J. McCarthy grew up in Chicago as a big Bears fan. He now will go to facing the Bears twice a year, and Bo Nix was the quarterback that Denver wanted in this draft all along. The Broncos get him at number 12. They considered last night during the run of quarterbacks moving up to get him, instead sat right where they were. They even debated initially early on moving back to get him. But again, with all the action around all the quarterbacks, they recognized that they had to stay right where they were to get the quarterback that they had targeted throughout this draft process.
Yeah, that worked out well for him. Let's get right back to the top of the draft. And, of course, the Bears, what they did with Caleb Williams, taking him number 1 overall to be their quarterback and then adding more offensive firepower after that. Caleb was real excited there. He got even more excited when Romo Dunze was drafted at number 9 overall. And Caleb actually had told me on the red carpet prior to the draft he was hoping for Rome, and he was able to get his man. Pretty exciting to see what this Bears team will do and the way they're surrounding their number 1 overall pick. The Bears, the first team in the common draft era to take a quarterback and a wide receiver in the top 10 of the same draft. In fact, they're just the fourth team to take a QB and wide receiver in the first round at any point in the same draft. The first since the Broncos took Tim Tebow and Demaryius Thomas in 2010. Check out Williams as he learned the team was adding a star wideout with that 9th overall pick.
No!
Let's go.
Hell yeah. Let's
I would have spiked this water, but we got cameras.
What happened?
We got our guy. We got our guy.
Who's your guy?
Uno. Uno.
Okay. Are you ready for some good vibes?
Let's do it.
We're all good.
He wanted it. They felt like it was going to happen, and certainly it ended up happening.
I don't think it was a coincidence that Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Roma Dunze threw last week.
Well, you know, we were reading those. Hey, the reality is, though, Rome still had to be there at 9, which thankfully for the Bears, he was. Dan, let's start on the Williams side of it all. What are the Bears getting in their new quarterback?
Yeah, he's a superstar talent. A lot of this process, we've tried to figure out, like, okay, what are the flaws of Caleb Williams? Not that he's a perfect prospect, but, man, he is tremendously talented in doing some of the things that are uncoachable, some of those off-platform crazy throws. You're going to get pressure internally from Oregon defensively. Man-to-man coverage, safety 33 at the bottom is going to roll to the middle of the field. We're going to get a deep crosser, okay? Man coverage, you're always trying to get crossers, running away from people. Now, the challenge is you got to peek that backside corner to make sure you don't get fooled while also getting that safety to the middle of the field. Caleb's got beautiful eyes here. Now, when you're throwing crosses versus man coverage, it's really important to know what type of throw trajectory-wise that's needed. If he throws it on a line, it's undercut. That touch throw to make sure it can't get undercut while also fading away is one of his superpowers. The ultimate creator. This is the uncoachable, hey, can you do something that's not there? Now, make the case, throw the hitch. I would have,
throw the hitch up top. I would have, but that's why I wasn't the number one pick in the NFL draft. Creating something out of nothing, essentially, now. Leave the pocket. No, I can't because the retrace from that defensive end. He's got the vision, that spidey sense to see him. Now he retraces to trace out on the right side of the pocket, has vision again, and now he climbs up in the pocket. And it's not only that. The throws that he makes on the run, full speed, are just dumb.
I mean, there for that.
Yeah, so
there for that.
There is so much physical talent in that young man's game. And the Bears, with what they've done with them, I don't think that, like, there's going to be a lot of time till we get to see
that talent.
I do have a question,
Dan. That first throw, like you said, being off balance, sort of fading away. How difficult is that to place that ball the way he did?
I think for a righty quarterback, the hardest throw to make is fading away to your left and throwing it back to the right.
Yeah.
Not only back to the right, but that was decent coverage, solid coverage by the Oregon kid. And to throw that, like, Patrick versus the Ravens. That's kind of like the one to MVS. He was drifting back rather than fade. I think that's one of the hardest throws.
Yeah. I mean, you could. And some of the ones that you caught, too. RC, when you think about that Bears wide receiver room, even before adding Rome Odunze, they already looked really good. Yeah. What are they getting now in somebody like Rome? How good is he?
I made a tape because I wanted to show that he wasn't just some 50-50 ball catcher. Like, he's the guy that could do so much more. I'm going to show you what he's prolific at, right? It's gathering information right here, making sure I get skinny to get to the outside. Here, gather information, get to the outside. Now, he understands he's going to shoot his inside hand, knocks the hand off, and here is where he's special, locating the ball, catching the ball in close quarters. Now, I want to watch the long speed. This is a guy who was the 200-meter champion at Bishop Gorman in high school. Watch how he tracks the football. Here, let's run it back because I want to show you the difference between an elite tracker of the football and a novice, probably why he's playing defense. The one thing they always teach you is look up, not back. Mm. The Texas cornerback is looking back. He can't find the football. Rome Odunze, who is adept at it, looks up, tracks it, catch the football. Now, he's also a good route runner, which we don't give him credit for.
Yes.
The motion is going to put the off guy in coverage against Rome. Here, rocker step. Got you. Now, watch the pressure step.
Reset.
Pressure step to the outside. This is a wide receiver that can actually do everything.
Yeah.
And now you're adding him to a wide receiver room with Keenan Allen, who's a magician at the line of scrimmage, and DJ Moore, who's an all-around wide receiver. Caleb Williams has a really good
I love that reset. That route.
You know, watching him, listening to you talk a little bit about his skill set and then thinking about the receiver room, it's not too dissimilar from what Joe Burrow got to work with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, only Caleb gets to play behind a much better offensive line than Burrow did. But when we talk about situations, number one overall picks, I think those two receivers, all three of them, but really Moore and Rome Odunze, present a similar problem that those Bengals wide receivers do. If you single up, or if you probably double one of them or bracket one of them, somebody is going to get single coverage. And I would not want to be a defense trying to figure out which of these guys are you going to man up against.
Sometimes, like, I know we're talking about Rome. I'm going to go back to Caleb. Sometimes I know, like, Dan breaks these quarterback down and we look at their hips and how they tie to their feet. The one thing that gets lost sometimes with Pat and how great he is, he's just a damn playmaker.
Yeah.
Like, when you turn the tape on, it's like, this wasn't perfect. This wasn't perfect. This wasn't how you would do that. But the ability to playmake is an ability. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what got Caleb to this point. Because if you look at Jaden and you look at the numbers and you look at how he's tied with his throw and his feet, you say, well, it's more polished. But some of that unpolished in the NFL matters. Yeah. And I think that's what carried Pat Mahomes early in his career as he's continued to build things on. So those similarities are there, and there's a reason why we talked about it, because playmaking is an ability.
Yep. Real quick, I think one of the things that will be really important between him and Rome is how comfortable Caleb can get throwing to Rome when he's covered.
Yeah.
Mm. Like that is a growth process of you're not open, but I'm still going to trust you type of thing.
I get it, but they'll also have a lot of people who may be uncovered considering the weapons that they have. Now, the Bears are proud of their two picks in the first round, as they should be. Look at this from their Twitter. They changed their profile pic on X there to see the first overall and the ninth overall. A new era for Chicago. Will be fascinating to see how it all plays out. And let's go to another prominent pick in the first round. The Vikings didn't end up having to go up as far as some of us thought they would from 11 to get their new QB, going up one spot to 10, flip-flopping with the Jets. And now the former Michigan quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, headed to an already stacked roster in a scheme that he should excel in. Here's J.J. on his new home.
Great interactions with Coach O'Connell, Kwesi, the Wilf sons. I felt like I could really be myself. You know, I left it all on the table, and it was up to them. And, you know, I just can't thank them enough for having faith in me and believing in me. And I promise I won't prove them wrong. I'm going to prove them right.
Now, Dan started calling for this marriage 5 months ago. We'll give Dan a little bit of credit. He posted J.J. McCarthy would be great with the Vikings all the way back on November 11th, Dan.
So, like, coming back then.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, okay. So, Dan, you called it.
Just a pretty face, guys. Can you put a shirt on in your profile pic, though? Like, geez, oh, Pete's.
Jeez, oh, Pete's. I love
children.
That. Mina, we talked last hour about how good the fit was for McCarthy in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
That said, he's still a rookie. So give us something you want to see J.J. work on between now and the start of the season.
Yeah, we were talking about how it clearly translates to the Vikings offense, as Dan so presciently saw the vision. But one thing he's going to have to do, especially with all the play action they use, is layer throws over second level defenders. While I think he's very accurate and has a very strong, you don't see a lot of touch throws on his tape. It's all line drive. So I was wondering, how hard is it for a quarterback to get better at throwing with touch?
Yeah, I think it's something that absolutely can be taught. There's drills to teach it. I think part of the reason why that happens, you're absolutely correct, is he is, in like Trevor Lawrence world, almost robotic. He's so committed to the rhythm and the timing of a pass game. Mm-hmm. This is just going to be a motion down to deep out. Now, I want everyone to pay attention to his lower half, J.J.'s lower half. Watch how deep he sits there. And he puts his back foot in the ground, and then he's trying to drive this out. If he just was a little bit more like hop, two quick hitches, and played with a little touch throw, Mina, like just lobbed that ball to the sideline instead of feeling, oh, I got to drive this football because on paper I'm taught to sit and put my back foot in the ground. That's a bad miss in my opinion.
Right.
But because on paper, because it's taught, hey, we are going to run this play, and you're going to go 1, 2, 3, sit on that back leg and then drive the football. It's a fine line, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a fine line because that's one of his strengths, but it's also sometimes where, again, he gets so, committed to it. You're like, dude, just take a hop hitch. The guy's wide open and loft that ball out there. So I think it's a little bit, like, of a rep thing.
Timing.
Yeah, timing thing. Encouragement of freedom thing. Like, hey, you know, as long as the ball's out of your hands before that receiver's turning – you're totally okay.
Okay, so quick story, you guys. The Vikings weren't done. They moved up to 17. And when that was happening in the green room last night with the families, everybody was looking around because defensive players were still there, of course. And Dallas Turner starts getting a call. No one could figure out who it was. His family's like, who is it? And he's like, I'm on the phone, like getting drafted, you know. When they realized that it was Minnesota, there was this cheer because they were so excited for the situation. What do you think about maybe, many believed, one of the best defensive players, if not the best in this draft? Going to Minnesota.
He is perfect for what Brian Flores is going to do from a defensive standpoint. Flores is aggressive. Dallas Turner is elite at getting his hand out of the dirt and going forward. That's why we were talking about it with Latu. How would you view both of these guys? But his ability to bend the edge and use a long arm, but all of it comes off speed. He's not as strong and big as Will Anderson Jr. was. I don't think he's as stout at the line of scrimmage. But this ability to play low, y'all hear me talk about this all the time. How fast can you stay the lower you get on a pass rush really matters in this league now because all the tackles are 6'6 and above. The majority of those guys. I think he has an elite trait when it comes to bending the edge and getting after the quarterback. If Flores is going to be aggressive like he's been defensively, you can also use him as a move-around guy in some of your pressures because of his speed.
Well, that was going to be my point. You have to do that with him. If you get back into the first round or when you draft him in the first round, it's to say, okay, we're going to put you in opportunities to succeed. And we saw that with Jim Schwartz. As great as Myles Garrett is and was, he got better this year because of that. And I believe Brian Flores is going to have to focus on that with Dallas Turner because he has elite measurables and rush traits.
Yeah, but it makes a lot of sense for their defense because of what you guys described, the athleticism, his ability to drop into coverage, to run games, all things that Brian Flores will ask him to do. But also remember, they signed Jonathan Greenard out of Houston to a big contract. So he doesn't have to come in right away and be the number one pass rusher.
Yeah, it's important.
As you guys are saying all this, I'm thinking there is actually a lot of pressure on J.J. McCarthy to be really, really good because The rest of this team is great, and they should have a ton of success next season. Up next, we'll talk about the Giants. Haven't gotten there yet. They pass on a quarterback to pick an explosive wideout in Malik Nabers. Field Yates back to explain why this move makes the most sense for the Giants if they want to try to get the most out of Daniel Jones, who is still currently their quarterback. Aerial coverage provided by Goodyear. From their first step on the field to their first step on this stage, these players have drive. Goodyear, more driven.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Week 5 of the UFL kicks off tomorrow as the Brahmins take on the Renegades and the Stallions square off against the Roughnecks at 7 Eastern on Fox. And then on Sunday, it's the Battlehawks and Defenders at noon Eastern on ESPN. Then the Panthers take on the Showboats at 3 on Fox. We're back here at the draft in Detroit. Rounds 2 and 3 continue tonight. We've got all the coverage. But Toledo's Quinyon Mitchell was the first cornerback off the board last night, landing in Philadelphia with the 22nd overall pick. Philadelphia just continues to add great defensive players. Mina, you like this Mitchell pick in Philly?
I don't like it. I absolutely love it. I mean, he brings so much to the table that's been missing in Philadelphia, but I'll start with the most obvious thing, which is speed.
Yes.
Ran, I believe, a 4.33 40, and it shows up on tape. Primarily played off coverage for Toledo. When he clicks and closes, he arrives like a bullet. And that brings me to the next thing, hopefully he'll bring to Philadelphia, which is production on the ball. Breaks up passes like crazy. Philadelphia had the second lowest interception rate in football last season. So the hope is, with that pass rush and him playing behind it off, he can keep eyes on the quarterback and pick him off.
This was sort of the perfect match of a need meeting the player.
Yeah.
You know, he was the first cornerback off the board, which many people expected. And if you go back to that Senior Bowl week, where he had an opportunity to be the most dominant player the entire week. But on the other end of it, we saw the Detroit Lions make a trade to pick up Terrion Arnold, who to me, outside of Quinyon Mitchell, is the most physically mature player at the position, whether it's his eyes or his feet. He's always tied in to exactly what the technique needs. How much does he help this team, though, Mina?
I think it's a great pick for Detroit. Obviously, cornerback was a need. I think my question for them is, you have Brian Branch at the nickel, who was fantastic last year. How much do you play Terrion inside, outside? He does bring that inside-outside versatility that you saw sort of from like a young Legarius Sneed kind of. I think they're going to have to make some decisions about deployment, but the talent was just too tantalizing for Tabasco. So
first off, this is like turning into like a second, like a prep school for Alabama, right? Guys are going there to play. But also you look at Terrion Arnold. Now what can you do in your dime packages? They were heavy sub-package last year Brian Branch. Now if you can add Terrion Arnold to that, we can go more to a matchup situation where we're like, okay, Brian Branch is better on this guy, Terrion here, and move him outside and make plays, because we've seen him do that many times in the SEC, Laura.
Yeah, you guys, Terrion was a little nervous last night before it all got started. He told me, I'm nervous because I just don't know where I'm going to go. Then he had to wait a little bit, right? And it was getting a little tense, but his agent, Nicole Lynn, looked at him right after he was drafted and said, you're home. It was so cool to see him out in front of this crowd and these fans. Let's go to New York, our next stop on our journey around this first round and these picks. They had the option of taking quarterback J.J. McCarthy with the 6th overall pick. Instead, they decide to add LSU wideout Malik Nabers. I felt like this was a great choice. Does the move